And a great big welcome to everybody on YouTube. This is Overtime, Emmanuel here. Kyle, you over in the other part of the studio?
Obviously, yes, and it's me.
Out there in Signal Land, we have Rob T. Firefly.
Hello, yes, good evening.
We have Gila.
Good evening, I just saw the van move.
Okay, I don't know about that. Yeah, we have a little van on our screen here on YouTube. It's the only video you'll see. It's not even video, right? But it moved?
Huh. Do you want it to move again?
I don't know what's going on. You can move the van? Oh, my God. The van's
move
gone.
The van. Move the van.
Okay, and we have Alex, too. Alex, did you make it?
Yes, waiting patiently during the van repartee.
And
you've been having I
see
for an introduction.
You're wearing headphones, Alex, so that's great. Thank you for that.
I wanted to ask, does this sound better?
You sound great.
Yeah, and you look like a professional.
It might help.
Okay.
It might help everything.
Think about it. If you're not playing audio through your laptop speakers, it's definitely going to help.
In Alex's defense.
Well, of course.
Noise canceling from the previous software, which will not be mentioned, might have been
What the hell's going on there now? Whoever's moving
furniture. Please not be interrupted
for a second? Yes, continue. I'm trying to hear you.
We switched software, and there might not be the same noise canceling features with this software. That's my only point. So
if
he had been doing things one way all along, our change may have made it more difficult for him to continue doing it the way he had always done.
But I like the way he's doing it now.
Yeah, that's more pro.
Look at him with the headphones on.
And
I'll bet he won't mute himself nearly half as much.
I don't know. We'll see about that. I don't know. That remains to be seen. But I will say, though, that I think noise cancellation does have something to do with it, though, because I had the same setup before, but I just yesterday did a macOS update, and I think that might have changed the drivers or something that I'm using for this particular mic. Something definitely changed, because it's not just you that was having an echo. I was actually doing an interview about Virgil with a reporter earlier today, and they were like, why am I hearing an echo? Who's echoing? And then
see?
It was me, but
see?
It was inexplicably
me. It's not
me.
Just me. It's every reporter.
I know, but that's true. But I had done a test with Rob. I don't know if you remember that right before the show. I did a sound test with Rob, and I specifically asked, do you hear an echo? Because I was on a call earlier, and he said no. He didn't hear an echo.
For all of our sake and yours, make that a habit. Make that a regular thing. Just do that with Rob. Do whatever you have to do just so that you put it through its paces. Lest there be an update or something, we can adjust if we know what's going on. But checking for functionality, always a wonderful thing. I know all our listeners appreciate it.
Okay,
but it failed, though. That was the problem.
We tested and we did not hear the echo. And then when on the air, we heard the echo.
All right, folks, I'm going to put a tone out now and we're going to go live. So we don't want people hearing this crap about us doing our sound test. All right, we're live in three.
Okay, I got to reset the van.
God damn it, Kyle. Are we ready?
Yeah, let's go.
Quiet out there. Who let all these, spectators
it's
in?
It's almost 8:05.
We're late.
Oh, I thought we started at 8:05.
3, 2, 1. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Overtime here on YouTube. I'm Emmanuel, Kyle over there, Signal Land, Rob T. Firefly, Gila, and Alex.
I'm over everywhere.
Yeah.
Good evening.
Wow. Hi. What a show that was, huh? That was something.
No doubt.
Okay, this word for people who are aiming to call in tonight. If you call in tonight, you can't call in next week on the BAI call-in show. All right? Those are the rules. So you can call in to the BAI show if you don't call in tonight. We're going to keep track. And, and bans will be enforced if people violate this. Because there are so many people that want to call in, and, you know, it's not fair if the same voices are the ones that, you know, have the quick dialing fingers and all that. We want everybody to have a chance. There are some people who listen to us on BAI who still have rotary phones. And I don't think I'm in danger of being corrected on that. I'm pretty sure that's true.
I mean, pretty sure we'd have a rotary phone if the option existed.
All right, hands. Who has a rotary phone in their house right now? Are we the only ones? Really?
I have part of one.
What does that mean, Rob? You have part of one?
I have just the dial of one.
That's not how it works. You need the whole thing.
What happened to that old candlestick phone that you were going to wire into our doorbell?
Right. There's no dial on that one. It's too old for that.
Yeah, but the really old ones didn't have dials. You just picked it up, and the operator picked up, and you'd say, get me Stetson 625.
Yeah, I think Rob is going to go get it, because it is actually a very cool piece of equipment, and not that one.
I'm sure all the radio listeners will appreciate hearing it. That's a butt set. That's an orange butt set. Everyone has one of those. Every hacker, that is.
A rotary butt set.
That looks a lot like the one I have. Wait, did he steal ours?
No, we have an identical one.
Damn.
So does that qualify as our having a rotary phone in our house?
Well,
that's pretty good.
It's close. It's close. But
yeah,
it doesn't,
I'm going to say yes.
I'm going to say no because it doesn't ring.
Okay, that's true. It doesn't have a bell.
Yeah.
If people are interested in getting analog telephone adapters and setting up rotary phones with equipment that can interpret pulse dialing, is really fun, and it can make older phones really useful with, say you have a cable line or a regular landline, or you're implementing something with voice over IP. All of those phones still work on those systems, and if you manage to, if you get, you know, a phone call, you could just pick up an extension like it was installed in the old telephone network. So these are not useless items. They can be repurposed and even made wireless. Yeah, there are enough microcontrollers out there with wireless abilities. You could probably set up your own wireless rotary phone.
Kyle, can I go down the hall and call into the show on one of the rotary phones just to demonstrate the sound differences between today and yesteryear?
I'm not going to stop you.
You can. You can say
I might
no.
not have, like, all the most interesting things to say. I guess I can make pleasant conversation with our guests.
Oh, yeah. To a degree.
Yeah.
You'll run out probably in about 45 seconds.
I mean, there's one right there, not even, like, three steps outside the door. Although, I think that's a different line.
I have one in particular.
Yeah, go grab that one.
Yeah.
The 302 or the 50.
Oh, I could go for really old, from the 1940s. I could do that. Well, let me see what I can do.
Those are on a crate under the copier.
Yeah, and we wonder why Rebel calls in with these like bizarre exercises for us to engage in, right? Well, you know, we're just encouraging this kind of behavior here, Kyle.
Well, playfulness on the telephones, it's totally encouraged. I think we even have a network. There's a lot of lines and phone wiring that isn't used anymore, and I've set up, we have at least four of those running on a battery as an intercom. They don't have ringing ability yet, but people basically come up to us and like say, hey, I've got this bag of phones, and we've basically acquired a lot of old phones, and I think this is a common thing. Many people will get telephones and basically begin collecting without actually consciously trying to.
They're interesting objects nonetheless, right? And somebody in the chat had asked whether rotary phones still work. And I think the interesting thing about rotary phones is so long as you're connected to a copper line, right, that's connected into the telephone system,
even
a rotary phone should always work because you dial it by hitting the switch hook.
Right.
It's just basically hanging the phone up and down really quickly using a switch hook, which is how you dial those numbers.
Exactly. Like modern modems, like cable modems, anything running like the DOCSIS stuff that has the ability to offer phone service, a lot of those can interpret pulse dialing signals. And as I said, ATA, analog telephone adapters, which are used to make analog phones IP capable, let's say, basically allowing them to connect over IP networks, those are often used to bring them into like a voice over IP setup.
And it's interesting, too, because there are very good reasons to keep pulse dialing active, not just so people can hook all the phones to it, but there is, like, old emergency equipment connected to the phone network that would still use pulse dialing to get out, like, vital calls. Like, certain, I believe, phones in things like elevators and things like that, where you press an emergency button and it connects you to help. There are, I believe, still some of those out there in the world that would use pulse dialing to do that.
Well, I'm back. I got an all circuits busy error. All circuits are busy to our phone number. What the hell? Was someone else calling?
No.
So, wow. So Google Voice doesn't work. Isn't that something?
Let me check what lines they're plugged into.
That doesn't make any sense. It's I got a dial tone. I was making the call. So, folks, how many of you out there have been trying to reach us and never can because you get an all-circuits busy recording? I tried it three different times. It takes a while. That's not me calling in. Someone else is calling in. If we could ask you to not call in while we're figuring this out, that would make things a whole lot easier. Unless it was Kyle testing something. I'm not really sure.
I mean, that's an excellent question. I would assume that it was someone trying to call in, unless you hear otherwise from Kyle. But, you know, we know how engaged our listeners are.
Yes. Did I not definitely specifically not ask people not to call in, and someone's calling in right now? Yes. Let that peter out, and we're not going to pick it up. But I was calling 802-321-4225. That's the number, right? I called the right number, did I not?
You did.
All right.
As fun as this is, like, in fairness, I can't do this here and troubleshoot that there.
Well, there's no troubleshooting.
It would have been nice to
There's no troubleshooting. I called the number.
A little bit.
But I called the... Look, this is what everybody has to go through. I called the number from a dial tone. It did not work, period. So there's no other way to dial a number. Yes, give it.
Okay, just got a question from a listener. Josh Miller asks, pulse dialing requires physical switch of the hook. Is it AI-proof?
I don't know what that's supposed to mean. But I'm wondering...
I think
this might be a network issue where some networks are blocked from our phone line. Because I'm going to try from a cell phone now, and somebody tells me it's going to work. And it does. I hear it ringing right now. So, for whatever reason, a certain landline, is blocked from getting to our phone number. So we're figuring this out live on the air, so that's kind of interesting.
But wait, what's the local carrier is still Verizon, right?
It's still Verizon, but we don't have Verizon per se. We're using Verizon lines and Verizon equipment, but it's some other company whose name I don't even know.
I got the same thing.
Yeah, we've
got to play with it.
Well, we're figuring it out. On the air, we're figuring it out. This is some kind of a restriction on a landline, either from a certain company or from... If anyone out there has a Verizon landline, try calling us 1-802-321-4225 and see if you get through.
Yes, let's issue the challenges to listeners instead of us.
If they can't get through, what do they do? They can't call us to tell us that.
Call us on your other phone because you have so many
phones.
You
assume they have another phone.
Oh, if you have a Verizon landline, you're diehard. You have many backups.
Do we... Okay, and I really wanted to try it on a regular landline. But we have another landline, too. Yeah, we have two landlines.
No, you can't
Maybe we
do
have
that.
Five landlines.
No, it's not going to work.
Is there a rotary phone? It won't work? The rotary phone won't
work?
Yeah,
it's right there in the hallway, but that's also the line that you would be picking up. You'd be I mean,
okay.
like I said, we have not set this up so that we can use
it. All right. Well, nobody should expect us to.
It's set up so people can call us. Gosh.
Is that a bottle of whiskey there? I could use it.
No, not yet.
Oh, boy.
We got at least an hour and 15 minutes more. We'll set up a third line. By golly.
We're done playing with the phone, so folks, you can call in now.
See how much fun it is?
802-321-4225. I just wanted to demonstrate a rotary phone.
That is weird, because a regular landline should work. I don't get it. I don't think it's the pulse dialing, though. In our defense,
no, it's not the pulse. It's the phone line.
This is the way the line is set up as it is now. But it's pretty complex. It's not like a normal standard setup, as you said.
It rings immediately. It's almost like you have long distance turned off, even though it's not long distance anymore. But we don't have long distance turned off.
I dialed the number with a one, thinking I could go get a little further. I did get to
a
ring.
You have to dial the one.
Okay. I tended to dial.
Maybe I'll try a carrier access code. I could try that. Or get the operator involved. Okay, let's pick up this phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Emmanuel.
Somehow, Rebel, I think you're behind all the trouble we're having. And, of course, you know this means you cannot call the show next week when we're on the air. But all that said, how are you?
Good. I was just going to mention, I'd just like to know, what is a tie line? I'm talking in the 80s. what is a tie line and a foreign exchange line? Like back in the 80s,
right.
Like foreign exchange lines and tie lines. How did that work?
Well, I can tell you this. This is a trip down memory lane for me. At the other radio station at Stony Brook, we used to have a tie line. In fact, the whole campus at Stony Brook had a tie line. You would dial 120 on campus. Keep in mind, you would dial 9 to get off campus. But in this particular case, you dial 120, and you'd hear another dial tone. And that dial tone was in Queens. And that meant you could just dial a 7-digit Queens number, and you'd be connected. I used to use that 120 tie line to connect my family to my grandparents who lived in Queens. You know, I pushed down 2 buttons on the key system. One would call the local number at home. One would call the 120 and then the 7-digit number in Queens. And people could talk. It wouldn't cost anything because that was the system they had. All right, whoever did that, that's a demerit. You get 2. Was it us? Was it on our end? Kyle, was it on our end? Did I just demerit ourselves?
I can right. neither confirm or I can't defend.
There was a tie line gets you a distant dial tone. Now there was another tie line too, 123, yeah, and that got you. I think the Albany tie line. It was far more distant, and you could make phone calls there. And I think it might have worked in Washington D.C. too for some reason. There are other examples of this. I'm not sure if that's the same as a foreign exchange line. It might be a subtle difference. I'm sure somebody can call or say on the chat what it is that the difference is. But does that answer your question, or are you still talking?
Okay.
Yeah, you're still talking because you didn't listen to anything I said.
I heard what you said.
Did you? Okay.
We'll call one thing Lyndon Hill, and we'll call one thing Claire Collins.
Why are we doing that?
One thing, it's one thing, we had a PBX in the Lyndon Hill campus. You dial 9 to get an outside line,
okay.
And then you dial 8 for the tie line, which you could get 8 and you get the Claire Collins campus, the different campus.
Oh.
Zip PBX. That's like the tie
wait,
line,
question.
Right?
When you say you dial 9, then you dial 8, you don't dial 8 after the 9. You dial 8 instead of the 9, right?
No. You dial 9 to get an outside line, but if you wanted to get the other campus, or if you wanted to dial somebody in the other campus, you dial 8 to get their PBX.
Instead, yes. Okay, that makes perfect sense.
That's a tie line, right?
I believe it is. Someone correct me if I'm wrong, but that, yeah.
Okay, but what is a foreign exchange line?
That's what I don't know the difference between the two, because it sounds like it's the same thing, but it probably isn't.
Okay, so you don't know what it's like a line in a distance, like a line in New York with a...
We can theorize, or Gila might have the answer because she's raising her hand. Go ahead, Gila.
No, I was just going to ask if it's when a phone from a different country comes to live in your house for a while.
This is a serious program, Gila. We may call it overtime, but it's not a hockey game. It's an actual program where we try to educate people. All right. I'm sorry, Rebel. I'm sorry for the childish antics that go on here sometimes. Rebel, you're being drowned out, and I kind of like it. But please keep talking.
What about when you call something like an airline, and like you call it like an 800 number, and then it's like all representatives are busy, but like they have a location in Atlanta, one in Pittsburgh, one in Dallas. Like they drag you to the nearest who is available. How does that work, and what's that called?
I don't know what that's called, but you just made me think airline would have been a great way of describing a phone line that was a cellular phone if it weren't for actual airlines already using the word. That would have been something. Landline, airline. Wouldn't that have been cool? In a different world, that would work. As for how they route you to the nearest representative, I imagine they have technology that knows, you know, reads your area code and puts you in touch with the person that is likely to be familiar with the area that you're in. Just a theory.
No, like back in the 80s, I recall, like U.S. Air. And they have an office in Pittsburgh. They have an office in Charlotte. Maybe they have an office in, I don't know, New York City. And when you call it, if all the people in Charlotte are busy, then, or New York City, they'll connect you to Charlotte. If they're busy, then they'll connect you to, you know what I mean?
It's called programming. Yeah, they just program. If this is the case, then it'll do that. Yeah, I guess, you know, that's how they do it. Gila, do you have an answer this time?
I have actually put away childish folly, and I have a real answer.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I found a document from AT&T titled Foreign Exchange, and here's the information that I have. Foreign exchange is offered when an end user requests a telephone number from a different central office, and the exchange is located within the same local access and transport area. There are three types of foreign exchange. Foreign exchange service provides telephone number and dial tone from an exchange other than the exchange normally serving the customer's location.
Mm-hmm.
Foreign district area service provides a telephone number and dial tone from a district area other than the district area normally serving the customer's location within the same exchange. Or foreign prefix service, providing a telephone number and dial tone from a central office other than the central office normally serving the customer's location within the same primary exchange.
So it sounds like it's distance related.
Yeah, like their customer line is basically patched or like cross-connected on from one central office to another, bypassing the sorts of billing and call setup stuff in that local central office. They're just basically that those pair are connected to a trunk or something that goes directly to a distant office for all of those calls to be handled there, not in the nearest proximity as is normally done with the plain telephone
network. Yeah, and I imagine this is all related to the crazy-ass billing they used to have with the phone company, where basically, you know, there were regions, and you could be right next to a different region, and if you called a number there, you know, just across the street, you'd have to pay per minute. And, you know, calling Queens from Long Island is considered long distance, and it was a different time. So you had to do things like this, especially if you were a business with a lot of contacts in a different region. You didn't want to have to pay for every single call and every single minute. You would have a dedicated line that you could use and simply pay a set fee for that. So hopefully, Rebel, that answers your question.
Well, actually, we used to have, if you dial 7, you get the New York City line. Like, because I remember back in the 80s, I did 958 on the mm-hmm. New York City line. And,
right.
And I got it from New York. I don't remember what I did with it, but I wonder what happens if you call that number.
Probably nothing, because I did the same thing. I would do 958 on the 120 tie line, and calling the number, it would just ring because it was only meant for outgoing calls.
Right. So the Westchester County line, you dial a certain number to get out, and then we get your New York City dial tone.
Exactly, yeah. Not, in some cases, and, you know, I tried this on my I was really mischievous in my college days. But basically, if you call into anything that automatically calls out, sometimes it didn't check for a dial tone. And you would wind up being connected to the person who was dialing out. Now, there was a bank on our campus that had a phone like this. Basically, you know, there are two ATMs, and there was a little hotline phone between them. You pick up the phone, and it would auto-dial the bank's main headquarters because presumably you had a problem with the ATM. I don't know how we did it exactly, but we found out what the phone number was of that phone, and we started calling it, and it would just keep ringing and ringing and ringing. And back then, you could ring a phone all weekend, and it would not disconnect. It would keep ringing. Nowadays, you get maybe 12 rings, and it disconnects because no revenue is being generated. But eventually, somebody picked up the phone. You would hear the rotary dial, because, yes, they used rotary dial back then. And after the 10 digits or so, they would think they were talking to the bank. And so we would start talking as if we were the bank, and, hilarity ensued. Let's just put it that way. Nobody was hurt, but it was a lot of fun, and I won't go into more details than that.
Okay, so you're going to have a foreign exchange in another city? Like, what about, like, if you have a foreign exchange, like, you're in New York City, and you had a foreign exchange line in Atlanta. Can you get a foreign exchange line and get an Atlanta dial tone?
Of course. Of course. You get one in London. I don't know where Alex went, but I'm sure he could talk about having foreign dial tones in different countries. Absolutely. It's kind of, you know, it's like a VPN for phones, you know, way back before they existed. Yes, Gila.
I mean, I was going to say it's pretty much like that. I feel like Google Voice is a lot like that now, you know, because you're not in Vermont. You know, not to dox you too bad, but you've got a local Vermont number now, right?
Well, I sort of do, yeah.
I mean...
Can't reach it from its own line, but...
Understood. So much of it's happening. Also, I do have a fun story that our friend Tim in Connecticut dropped in the chat, but I don't want to, you know, interrupt Rebels time.
Rebels time is almost over, but go ahead.
All right. Tim says, overflow. I was working one night and had the local police show up at the guard shack saying that someone or something in a multi-building campus was calling 911. It was resolved by having the 911 operator transfer the call to a fax machine to complete the call. The person was trying to fax internationally and somehow missed the zero on the 011 in the country code.
Because what they did was they dialed 9 to get off the campus or whatever. And
mm-hmm.
they didn't dial 011, they dialed 11, so 911.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that, and, you know, a lot of campuses are programmed, even though the 9 is for getting the outside dial tone, if it sees the sequence 911, it'll still connect you to 911 as if you had dialed the first 9 and then dialed 911. So I hope that makes sense.
In those glory days when a fax machine would call a number and then just keep trying to send until the electronic signal was acknowledged by another fax machine to receive it. So if you called a regular phone with your fax machine, they would just keep getting the beeps and keep getting the tones, and there was no way to stop it.
I don't know about you, but my fax machine still does that. Hey, I sent a fax 3 days ago. What's the most recent any of you sent a fax?
Wow.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Maybe at least 10 years ago at an old workplace.
You know, there are state bureaucracies where faxes are used every single day, and you damn well better have a fax machine if you want to do anything with them. Yeah. And, you know, I find it amazing that they're basically the same technology as they were back in the 80s. You know, not really much faster. And I've never gotten the color fax, you know, and it serves a purpose.
That it does.
I suppose it does.
Rebel, anything else?
Yeah, I remember Twix, like businesses would have TWX symbols to these 910 area codes.
That's right.
And what if you called that from a regular phone?
I never tried that. I'm going to ask you a question. Is TWX the same as Telex?
I think it was the precursor to fax machines, because I remember seeing it in the 80s. Like,
didn't answer my question. I asked about Telex.
I think it's the same thing.
TWX and Telex are the same thing?
I think it's an abbreviation for Telex.
Okay, Rebel, just wait on chat. I'm sure somebody will correct you. But I don't think they're the same.
Okay. Well, I mean, what I used to see in, like, brochures from the 80s, businesses would have their phone number, and then it would say, instead of a fax number, it would say TWX.
Yeah,
or
I know.
Telex.
I don't know who had those machines.
I think they said Telex, and it would give a 910 number, area code.
Wow. Yeah, I think in the early days of 2600, we might have actually somehow had a Telex number, but I have no idea how we... I think it interfaced with some kind of online service. I know we had an MCI mail address. That was fun.
So have you ever had any experience with foreign exchange lines in the 80s?
What's the fascination with foreign exchanges? I told you everything I know.
When I call things, I call a local number and I get somebody in Atlanta. Like I call a 212 number and I get somebody in Atlanta.
Well, that's their good luck, isn't it?
No, I mean like a business. I would get the Atlanta office instead of the New York City office.
I don't know this, Rebel, but I'll venture to say that's probably a different technology in sort of like a... what do I want to say? Like corporate phone network, where it's not formally arranged with the telephone company, but rather it's a part of the IT or telephony network that the company implements. So they'll have their communications set up so that numbers that dial in get routed through their internal phones extension and numbering systems, so you could theoretically end up in all kinds of places. You could end up on somebody's mobile phone. A lot of people work from home at some of these companies, so they could just add and remove people as they hire or rehire employees to that routing plan that's managed with their communications tools. So I don't know that it's something that they necessarily as a company are hiring through a product that the telephone company or whatever provider they're using sells or has as a function, but rather they implement it in their own corporate sort of network plan. I don't know that, but I would guess that it's become so democratized and so affordable that the company themselves can manage their phones in ways that allow them that kind of flexibility. It's really desirable, and they don't want to be paying extra fees to do it.
Mm-hmm.
They probably just pay for whatever minimum thing they need to get outside lines from a telephone provider to have a functioning number and then do the rest themselves virtually.
Rob, go ahead.
So to answer the earlier question, TWX is Telex. Telex is the underlying technology, and TWX was AT&T's name for their Telex service. And do you want to guess what TWX stood for?
Twix?
Close. Teletypewriter Exchange Service.
All right, Rebel, we've given you a lot of information tonight. Please process it. And
what about Centrex Service?
What about it?
What is that? I mean, it reminds me of that. Like, maybe, like, all the people, if I call a number in, like, a local New York City, and maybe all the people in New York City are busy, and then it routes to another city or another location?
I don't think that's what Centrex is. Centrex is you know, like a PBX, but a big one. And it was run by the actual phone companies. Bell System, Baby Bells, that kind of thing. But we're going to leave it there because we want to open up the phone lines to somebody else. And can we get Alex back? Where'd Alex go?
Alex, unfortunately, was called away on an emergency and will be away for the rest of the show.
You know, this happens every week. I'm trying to sense a pattern here. It's either an airplane, it's either a foreign country, or it's an emergency of one sort or another. Wednesdays, yeah. All right, 802-321-4225 is our phone number.
And while we're waiting on another call to that, I can just remind folks that the WBAI pledge drive is ongoing. And if you'd like to go to buddy.wbai.org, you could become part of what keeps us going, what keeps us doing what we do on the airwaves, also here on Overtime, and everywhere we do things. And it's more important than ever to give that a look in if you can help us out, buddy.wbai.org.
And the fact that we're asking you to do that while not even on WBAI should tell you that we mean it. You know, it's not just something that we're doing because we're forced to do it, because we're not forced. We believe in this. And if we see you in the street, we will say it. We will say, have you called WBAI and pledged your support? Sure, some people are annoyed by that and find it very aggravating when we won't talk about anything else. But it has to be said, because the WBAI is an essential voice, and it needs to be preserved, maintained, and it needs to thrive, because God knows what's waiting for us in the weeks, months, years ahead. Boy. Okay. Sorry, I'm just thinking about some of that. And you know, you dread turning on the news to find out what's going on now. You know, that case of this poor guy who was sent to El Salvador by mistake, has every right to be in this country, has a family, and the Trump administration admitted it was a mistake and basically said there's nothing we can do. There's nothing we can do. So you're basically saying if somehow Trump wound up in El Salvador, there's nothing we can do to get him back. Good to know. Let's arrange a trip. But for God's sake, don't lie to us. This is pure evil, that you would kidnap somebody, put them in a foreign country, in a prison, a horrible maximum security prison, and say that you're powerless to rectify your mistake. It's just, it boggles the imagination. I mean, think about it. You expect us to believe that you cannot talk to the people running the prison in El Salvador, who you talked to before in order to get permission to bring all these people there, but you can't talk to them to get one back. It's just, how dumb do they think we are? And now people in the administration are starting to hint at something that we've been talking about, that, yeah, doesn't matter. If you're an immigrant, American citizens will soon be eligible to be sent to foreign prisons. People born in this country. Now, they'll start by saying violent criminals, and we'll all say, yeah, you know what? Send the violent criminals there. We don't care. And then they'll keep expanding it. And eventually it'll just be anyone they feel like. So we better wake up.
Well, we don't have enough prisons in this country? I mean, are you kidding?
Well, think about it.
The whole country is practically... all right.
Getting them completely out of the country and forgotten about. Nobody's going to visit them in El Salvador or wherever we wind up sending people. It's tantamount to torture. And it's something that would have been inconceivable, unimaginable, just even a year ago. We talked about normalization, how kids become normalized, or how things become normalized to kids that we think are unusual. You know, like surveillance cameras everywhere, all sorts of things. This is one of those things. It's very, very dangerous. Sorry, I didn't mean to go down such a dark road. Came up. Go ahead, Gil.
No, I feel like that's kind of just the state of affairs of the world right now. Did want to share a comment from the chat, which want to thank everybody who's chiming in with information about Telex. This is just fun from YourMaw419. Telex and TWX could not communicate directly with one another because the keyboard coding schemes and transmission speeds were different for the two systems.
Of course they were.
I just think that's pretty spiffy.
Some things never change.
Also, we're talking about people thinking that driver's licenses from other states were fake because talking about fax machines, and a listener whose name I'm so not even going to try to read because it's – what is that called?
What is what called?
The type of
– I'm not sure.
With the zero and the X and the
– Oh, late speak?
Yeah, that. it's a lot. So talking about faxing and trying to renew a driver's license by fax, and they just didn't. And then I made me think of how my driver's license when I first got one was printed on a dot matrix printer and then laminated in the office. And yeah.
Speaking of driver's licenses, you are aware of this Real ID deadline that's looming. In 1 month, you will have to have a Real ID driver's license, or you won't be able to fly within the country. Or you can get a passport card. That's the same thing, somehow. Mm-hmm. But people are scrambling. People are actually, I heard about this, people are selling DMV appointments to other people so that they don't miss the deadline. It's that hard to get an appointment to get a Real ID. And the Real ID contains more information about you. It's more security. Again, this is something that I don't think we would have considered normal only a little while ago. And now everyone's got to have one.
Okay, so I'm going to push back on that a teeny tiny bit, because the Real ID, yeah, they've been saying this for a few years. Real ID was supposed to get rolled out like this in 2021, I want to say, and then they kept pushing it back because of the pandemic. Yeah, I mean, Rob, it took you the better part of 2 years to make it happen because of some paperwork stuff.
Yeah, but that was we happened to be getting our passports, Gila and I, and the passport now, if you get a U.S. passport, it comes with a passport card.
You can opt into a passport.
It comes with it if you ask for it, and I definitely recommend people do that.
Yeah, and since my state ID is not a Real ID, and it would have cost me more when renewing my state ID, plus I would have had to do it in person instead of just automatically do it online, so I just got a non-real, I guess, ID from the state, but I've taken to carrying my passport card around in my wallet as like a daily ID.
Yeah, I do that too, and a lot of people don't realize what it is, you know, but it's better because it doesn't have an address on it. It has your name, has your picture, but and it's accepted. My real question, though, is if you don't have a Real ID, do you have a fake ID? Is a non-real ID a fake ID? You know, we're speaking with language here.
No, it's a state ID.
It's a state ID. So the state might not be real. Got it. Go ahead, Gila, let me have a phone call.
No, I mean, that was what I've taken, actually, since January 20th, I've taken to carrying around my passport card at all times, just in case. And I do have a Real ID. When my driver's license expired a couple years ago, I got a real ID. Mm-hmm. And it was a very humid day, and my hair is too big for the photo.
Wow. And just so people know, if you do have a passport card, you can escape to Canada. You can't escape to Europe on that. You need a full passport for that. So just, you know, if you're walking around with one thinking that that's your pass out of here, no, you have to have more unless you're going to Canada, which I do recommend. All right, we have a phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead. Sorry for the wait.
Hello, guys. How are you?
Oh, it's our friend from Queens.
Yes, your friend from Queens.
Do you have a bone to pick with us tonight? Because usually when you call us, you say you have a bone to pick with us.
I don't have a bone. I do, but I'm going to talk about what Reverend was talking about.
Okay, cool. Let's do that.
About highlights. Back in the 70s and 80s, there were hotels in Europe. You would call a 212 number in the United States, and all of a sudden you would hear a local dial tone. Then you would hear MF tones, and then all of a sudden you would be talking to someone in Europe, and if you said, oh, sorry, I called the wrong number, they hang up, and then you get a dial tone in Europe somewhere, and you can call anywhere in Europe using touch tones.
Wow.
Yes. And also we had a bunch of colleges had, you know, into tie lines, like also, you know who also had a tie line? You had an 800 number, and then it would answer. You hear another dial tone, and you would hit there, like, one for Ohio, two for this. Xerox had a bunch of tie lines that people used to use.
Makes sense, yeah.
Without a security code. So they, and they did that for years, and they never realized that people were using that as long-distance enhancers. They did not have, you know, like a passcode on it.
Go ahead, Gila.
We're getting word from the chat that they can hear us fine, but the callers have been low. So if we can crank up the callers at all, that would be good.
I will try.
Thank you.
Well, am I sounding low?
Well, now you're sounding high.
Yeah, I was just going to say that Xerox had it and General Motors. General Motors also had it. If you hit 8, you would be connected to a local radio station to listen to their ads. General Motors would allow their executives to call in on an 800 number and then listen to different ads throughout the country. And then if you hit number 9, and this was back in the mid-80s, you would be able to make calls anywhere in the country free.
You know, I remember a General Motors 800 number. It's called TravelNet, and it was a great way to make phone calls all over the place. Good times.
Yeah, listen, but today, listen, you don't have pipelines anymore. Everything is internet-based. So if you call a company in New York, they have, and by the way, phone numbers don't, just like IP addresses, doesn't mean that it's going to be in New York. I can have a 212 number and transport it to a cell phone in Ohio somewhere. So, you know, just because I say to you, okay, 212 or 312, which is Chicago, in today's world, it has no more meaning because the national number plan, it no longer really exists except, you know, that was administrated by Bell Telephone, AT&T.
Mm-hmm.
But now it doesn't really matter anymore.
I hear you, and I mourn the loss of that because it was one of the coolest systems ever.
Well, they did a great job, but you know what you do? And by the way, in the old days, area codes had either had a 1 or a 0, so the computer, you know, the relay stuff could say, okay, I see 310, I know that's going to be, I got to get 7 more digits, that's an area code. But today, an area code could be anything. I see you could have 486 or 789, stuff
and
like that. So
you mentioned 310, that's one of the later ones, because it used to be that it couldn't be 0 as the third number, but they expanded to that first. I think 210,
right.
San Antonio was one of them. And then it was like pretty much anything goes. And that's when the magic was lost.
Right. And they started when they, 718-212, they ran out of, and you know what, they did it so stupidly. The Federal Communications Commission said, there was something about where they just couldn't, they put it within another area code. They had some crazy rules, but just to say, a lot of history back then, and a lot of stuff which is clued together, like the way they would have MF tones. All right, guys, look, have a great evening. Do I have a bone to pick with you tonight? I'd rather just talk about technology.
I agree. Did we just hear Morse code?
Yes, you just heard an FM repeater.
Okay.
You heard my FM repeater just come up in the background.
Cool. All right, well, keep doing what you did.
Yeah, I got to reset. I'm laying here on my bed in my bedroom, and I got a couple of receivers listening, and he just heard a repeater just ID.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, but I don't agree with you on everything you guys do, but I'm not here to bust your chops. You know what? There's too much crap going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? My head's burning out from all of this stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm going to shoot out pretty soon because the world is BS. So I want to talk about, technology. At least it's pleasing.
Right, yeah, you said it, yes. No argument there. All right, hey, you have a great night. We'll talk to you next time.
Okay, buddy. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Yeah, definitely the technical stuff, it can be more predictable than what's going on.
Well, is this something comforting about having the technology work around you, whether it's old technology, new technology?
And set up the way you like. I think our caller is a ham. So
oh, he's definitely a ham.
They are on the radio and on the radio.
By that, I mean ham radio operator. Not dispersing characters or anything like that.
Technical.
Exactly.
License.
I do detect the sound of another phone call coming in.
Yes, we're getting a call now.
All right, and this call is now in our queue, and I will greet it by saying good evening. You're on All for the Hook Overtime.
Hello, I just wanted to let you know that I do have a Verizon landline, but I don't have long distance service on that line.
Oh. Okay. I wonder if our line doesn't have long distance either because we just get that recording whenever we didn't try a different phone number. We should try that.
So a long time ago, I had long distance service with some special deal that if you signed up on the internet, you could get a good deal, but they discontinued that and now I don't have any.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
But I still have a cell phone now.
Uh-huh. Is that it?
So this is a call from not the landline, though, just to be
right.
Yeah,
clear.
Right. Okay, they don't have long distance.
You do have an 800 number or a toll-free number.
Yes, I don't know if we could.
I could try the toll-free number.
Right, the 888 number. That actually might be a way to test it on the line that we were trying earlier.
Right. Okay, well, it's no fun if Alex isn't here. So we'll have to do it when he's back. Is there anything else? Caller, where are you calling from? What part of the country or world?
This is the Bronx.
Oh, the Bronx. Cool. I like the Bronx.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have anything else?
Well, I just wanted to say that a lot of the things that happen today are not normal and not acceptable.
Uh-huh. Yes, I have to agree with that.
Yeah.
Like.
Amen.
I called mainly to tell you what you asked about trying with a Verizon landline.
Yeah, thanks for clearing up. Are you saying, though, from the Bronx, it's long distance to call? Yeah, I guess so. To call Vermont, it would be long distance, even though we're not in Vermont. That's funny.
We've had other callers that have noticed similar things in the degradation or the sort of deals drying up. As far as what is offered for those kinds of lines.
I have to say, you have a pretty good connection. This is a cell phone you're calling us on?
It is.
Wow, you have a good connection somehow, because I hear a lot of bad connections, and this one is actually pretty good.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, definitely keep listening and raise some hell in order to get the tranquility that you so desire.
Well said.
Thank you.
Thank you for your call. And Gila, go ahead.
I have a message for Kyle. A listener named Eric Griswold says, tell Kyle I went up to the Connections Museum in Seattle, and it was awesome, worth a visit.
That's fantastic. I'm glad that they did. That place has a lot of really good volunteers these days and has really transformed and become an institution. It's full speed ahead with all kinds of maintenance and projects and bringing old equipment back to life. They have a very strong presence on Mastodon and are publishing a lot of what they're doing much more freely than ever when I was a volunteer there. So please check it out. If you can't go physically, see what they're doing online. You'll get really inspired. I know they have a DMS system and so many other things they're powering up.
I think the Connections Museum in Seattle, Georgetown to be specific, is the best telecommunications museum in the United States. Now, I've said that, and if you believe I'm wrong, prove me wrong. Tell me of a better one.
I'm not going to stop you.
Well, of course, you're not going to stop me.
No, I'm totally
that's
biased.
That's your old stomping ground.
I love that place.
But I've been there, I've seen it, and I've experienced it, and I say that. You know, there's one, you know, on Long Island, too, in Comac. Been there. That's pretty good as well. But there's something special about the Connections Museum. Now, if there's something even better, I want to hear about it. I want to see it. I want to help spread the word. But you got to spread, you know, let us know.
Well, what I would add is it's really the connections within the museum, not just socially or with people from all walks, whether they were someone that worked as a telecommunications worker and they're a pioneer. I think that internally within that museum, the way things are strung together, the way the different examples of equipment from different periods that were in central offices all over the state of Washington and all over the country in much in the same way as they were installed all over the country, they're incredibly illustrative of how it actually works, how call setup works mm-hmm. from era to era, whether it's like a panel or like electromechanical stuff or the crossbar systems with relays and all of that. It's so complex
to actually see it working.
When you can
amazing.
Actually see and hear it.
Yeah.
And the sense of hearing if the central office is working, it was something that I learned in being there and being around some of the pioneers that were volunteering at the time.
We're talking about telephone pioneers, which are people who used to work for the phone
company. Retirees, mostly. Yeah. It's not the case anymore. There's a new generation, a lot of newer volunteers that are incredibly knowledgeable, some of which have not actually worked for the telephone system mm-hmm. proper as it
well,
was.
Well, it's good to mix those two communities.
Because no, it absolutely
they,
had
they
to.
Each have such knowledge and enthusiasm, too.
That was a lot of incredible work that was done mm-hmm. to embrace that curiosity, and people like me were able to go there and hear those stories and actually get what they were saying when mm-hmm. okay, you know, you hear something change in the crossbars or some aspect of the system makes a different sound, you got the sense of what it was like years ago when, in a place that was just humming with noises and clicks of relays and things like that. So if you want to see how things connect, and a lot of these different switches that are examples there from different eras connect to one another in the museum. And those are that's the real, I think, magic of how that those demonstrations are set up. And really, it earns the title of the Connections Museum. There's a lot of connections there.
We have as connections with X's, by the way. So keep that in mind. We have a phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
Hi, it's Bobcat.
Hey.
Are you going to hang up on me?
Do you want to do it? Is that your thing?
No, that would be a bad thing. You hung up on me last month. I didn't know I wasn't supposed to call in because I wasn't listening.
Oh, yeah, because you called the radio station after call. Yeah, we have rules. We have rules.
I didn't hear the rules.
All right.
But, okay. First, I'm also shadow banned in the chat on the YouTube. That would be nice if you remove that.
Okay, I have no authority over that, and that's another issue, but go ahead.
Okay. The most important thing I have to say is for Rob, but we're going to save that for another minute from now.
The what?
It's for Rob T. Firefly.
Oh, it's for Rob. Okay.
Yes. I'll save that. Okay. Chris Krebs is not being investigated for treason. He's being investigated for abusing his federal authority, which he did by announcing 2 days after the election that it was the perfectly free and fair with no investigation. Okay, you don't do that. Anybody who's done forensics knows, let's take some time and figure things out. Okay? You can look through the whole history of that if you'd like. Another thing, I'm sorry Alex is not on, but we need to get pardons for everybody who's been convicted of cryptocurrency garbage, like Chris Bowden. Look up Chris Bowden, captain, who's in Minnesota, who got put in prison for trading several thousand dollars worth of Bitcoin back in the early days of Bitcoin. But he didn't care. He didn't know that if someone said, oh, I'm a coke dealer, that you shouldn't sell him crypto. Because he was like, it's just money. But he got convicted for money laundering, and he spent time in prison. Okay? He was running a hackerspace that was amazing, and he went to prison for that. Chris Bowden. So look that up. Now, we'll go right to Rob. Rob,
okay.
You rage quit X.
Mm-hmm.
You deleted your account.
Yes.
I own your account. I'm you. And you should go on there right now and try to figure out what's the password to get your account back.
I...
Because okay? I'm just going to keep posting pictures of little X, Elon's son, Trump's grandson, apparently. And you should just never rage quit things. It's bad security. You park it, you don't rage quit.
Hang on. So basically, what if Rob had never had an account on Twitter? Are you saying we're required to have accounts everywhere because somebody could impersonate us?
Everybody can be impersonated, but there's links everywhere all over the Internet, mm-hmm. even from Rob's original Twitter account, linking to the account that I now own.
Well, you know, that's not much of an accomplishment, really. We can be you as well. It's you know, that's the nature of it.
Yeah, I can address this. So what Bobcat is saying, for those not following, is he took the screen name that used to be mine on Twitter, and he's asking me if I want to get it back by guessing the password, and the answer is no, I don't want to be on Twitter, and that's why that account was deleted. So, you know, if you want to be Rob T. Firefly on there, I guess there's not a hell of a lot I'm going to do about it. But, you know, if that's the sort of thing you need to do with your time, feel free. But it's, you know, it's not going to get me to guess this password or play around with it because, you know, I also, like long ago, I quit a job. I no longer go to that place.
You want to try showing up as Rob T. Firefighter's job? That'd be, yeah, let's just make this complete. Why not?
You know, I'm not sure what the end game is here of what you're trying to do here, Bobcat.
No end game, Rob. I'm being nice to you. I'm telling you made a mistake.
This is you being nice? Wow, okay. I hate to get on your bad side.
Oh, please. Rob, what's the password?
I'll bet it's password. Try that one.
Swordfish.
If I were going to guess, I would say swordfish, but, you know, that's just a basic mathematical fact of humanity.
First of all, what is...
anybody from taking the thing that is linked to you...
It's no longer linked to me, though. Although you did find a picture of me to put up in the user pick, and it's not a bad picture.
We can find pictures of anybody. It's not hard to do this. Yeah, the only thing that Bobcat might have here is the fact that there's a history that Google probably still has of that account when you were actually using it. So it's a legitimate security concern for people who wipe their accounts and walk away. What I just assumed Twitter would do was not allow it to be used again. Are you using the same username that he used?
Twitter doesn't care.
Yes.
Yeah, there's
Reddit
tons
doesn't
of...
let you reuse passwords and names. Gmail doesn't.
That was
Twitter
one of the
does.
first things that happened, though, when Twitter was bought, mm-hmm. is that parody accounts were, like, running rampant.
Right, so I know that.
It kind of basically fits the... Yeah, I don't know, it tracks with what Twitter is right
but
now.
But for accounts that are not used anymore, they don't allow you to just, you know, take them over. I know we've been trying to get Hope on Twitter for years. We don't care anymore. But that particular account had not been used in years. And Twitter's own rules, this is actually pre-Musk, said that after a certain amount of time, you could simply ask for the account if it wasn't being used. And they don't do that. And that account is just sitting there forever. Now, in this particular case, the account was deleted. But I still think, you know, it's only fair to, you know, to not just let anybody grab it, because you see things like this will happen.
I should let Bobcat know that I also have in the past deleted my Reddit account, my LiveJournal account, my MySpace.
Oh, and don't forget your dating apps.
Oh, yeah, my old dating apps, dude. You gotta get on those, because...
Rob, do you mind if we open this up to everybody so that they can all guess your password, or maybe somebody can grab your account and lock it so that nobody does this again?
If anybody would like to, Bobcat, are you, since this is your account, are you going to grant public permission for folks to?
Well, you ask your permission to use your own name. It's your name. You don't have to ask permission.
It's not my account though. It's Bobcat's, and I don't want to go granting permission for things that he owns.
I don't think he was counting on that kind of a response.
Yes, I was.
Okay. All right. Well, then the question stands. Do you grant permission
anybody? Rob, if you didn't grab your account already, it's someone else has taken it.
You mean someone got the password right. Already?
Are you kidding me?
I don't know what's going on.
I set it up so he could take it back and not.
I don't want it back,
yet.
Dude.
No, I don't think you have a say.
You don't have to use it.
I don't want it.
What's wrong with you? You want people to have your ID and then do whatever they want with it.
It's a Twitter account.
I'll tell you what my ID is. My ID is my own personal website, which has a page on it linking to all the social media I do use. There's a note on there that I'm no longer on Twitter. And so people looking for me out there can, you know, read that and know that they're not going
to
find me.
Yeah, that's only if they go to your website, though. If they go to your Twitter account, they're going to get this.
So it's not my Twitter account anymore.
Yeah, they might think it is.
That's, so now, what's gonna... now this favor Bobcat was doing has turned into an actual issue that someone else has it because they guessed the password.
Wow, this is turning into something.
Big. I don't think Bobcat actually meant to be like antagonizing. He was actually trying to like put it on the table, dude, like, "Hey, I got your account.
Yeah, what
you
if
can
the,
have it back if you
what
guess
if
the
password." What if the Houthi rebels now have your account, Rob? I worry about things.
No,
like
I don't dispute. I don't think Rob couldn't care any more less than he did at the beginning of this call.
I understood that.
It's still now in even further removed hands, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, maybe you could sue Twitter for impersonating you.
I wonder if I could report myself to Twitter for not being myself.
Yeah, do that.
We're sorry, Bobcat, for misreading, you know, your offer.
Okay, here's the thing. Rob's original Twitter account, which still exists, Rob T. Firefly, no spaces, no underscores.
That's not my original account, though. I'll tell you what that is. That's an account that somebody out there made at some point during the heyday of Twitter, because they kept trying to find me on there, and that was not my account name. So they put that up, like, with some spare address.
Wait, somebody trying to find you put up an account with your name on it?
Yeah, this was in very early days of Twitter. They put up an account because, okay, my username was Rob_T_Firefly, and somebody else was like, I was trying to find you at Rob T. Firefly without underscores, and you weren't there, so I put up this page, and all it said was that, you know, this isn't Rob T. Firefly, he's over at this other one, and put up my correct screen name. So...
Yeah, you know,
that was not my original account.
People keep doing
you
weird favors that I don't understand.
They really do.
Yeah.
The internet is full of weird favors.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you don't live in this neighborhood, but I'm going to buy a house and put your name on it so people can find you. It's just really weird. I mean, just, you know, look somebody up and find them, the usual
ways. Wait. Bobcat, is it the No Space Rob T. Firefly? That's the account that you acquired?
No, he acquired my actual former username with the underscores.
Which Rob said earlier.
I'm sorry, Bob, can I say that again?
Rob T. Firefly with no spaces.
Can you just repeat that one more time? Because we were talking over each other.
Okay. Rob_T_Firefly.
That's the account you
have. Rob's account.
Okay.
Was Rob's account. So like Pam, we all know Pam,
Well, we
talked to him about going to Jim Vicencia's memorial service.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to her, it says that thing, and then you click on it, and it goes to the one I now own that he used to own. And now usernames are not the same as user IDs.
Correct.
User IDs are a number in Twitter. So that will never match. But anything anyone ever said to Rob, if someone goes back and looks through time, it will go to the account that he owned that I now own.
Wait, are you saying you getting this account, you now have access to all his previous messages?
No.
Oh.
Because that's connected to
my
ID.
My public ads, I think, is now ads to this new account. So other people pinging me on Twitter publicly are now pinging this new account that is not me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And now that makes it very bad that you can be abused because some stranger now has your number. Now, if you didn't get it, figure it out yet, sign on and put in the proper password. Someone else who's listening to us will grab it.
And
all right,
do the right thing like I did and tell him about it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this has been interesting. Thank you for a most entertaining conversation. It's a form of hacking. Yeah, I'll give you that.
Well, it's also a lesson in how to strategize, like how to manage changing over.
Uh-huh.
And there's different implications and different ways some of these platforms are structured. So.
Right. Yeah, it's, you know, when somebody deletes something, someone else can make something again with the same name. I think we knew that, but seeing it actually happen, maybe it'll give...
Obviously, everybody did not know that.
Well, I think Rob might have known that. I don't know. We'll interrogate him further. But thanks for the call.
By the way,
go ahead.
Rob, we both know a famous female engineer who did the same thing, and I got her name, too. And rage quitting is a bad idea. Think about the security problems when you just kill yourself on an internet site.
How many people are you being on Twitter now, Bobcat?
I'm like 90 people on the phone, but I'm like 3 people on Twitter.
Oh, boy. Okay. So
take yourself back, President of Huxley College.
Sage words.
All right, thanks for all that. We have a lot to think about and reminisce about too. But okay, cool. That's going to pretty much do it for us here on Overtime. It's been an entertaining hour and change. Any final words from anybody?
I will say the general consensus from the chat is that they are not impressed. Cheers to people to Overflow who said, hey, I saw you were at work, so I cleaned your house for you. And XX who said, hey, you weren't in your car, so I drove it around for you. I believe that I also personally am underwhelmed by this particular like act of care for your particular.
Well, you know what it feels? It's like... if I had an apartment that I lived in long ago, and there are quite a few of those in the world, and somebody else was like, well, I live in that apartment now, so I'm going to tell people I'm Rob and I live here.
Also...
Well, he's telling you that he's telling Rob that he's Rob, and he lives there.
It's bad enough being one of me.
Because doesn't mean he has to, like, move in with us, because there's not a lot of space here.
To clarify the other point that was made in that previous call, yes, he's right. Miles Taylor is the person that Trump is accusing of being a traitor to the country. Chris Krebs was accused of, of being a wise guy as well as a fraud. And a disgrace.
Wasn't he appointed by Trump?
Yeah, he was. But either way, having an executive order to investigate you can ruin your life. Okay, so maybe treason isn't on the table right now. Not nothing to say it can't be in the future. This is unhinged behavior, and it's something that's really, really disturbing, and it's also a portent of what's to come if we don't get our act together.
I look forward to new callers next week. Hopefully people in the chat or on YouTube are able to listen to WBAI at 7 p.m. Eastern Time next week. We'll be taking calls there. So if you have a question or you'd like to make a comment or you're just up for chatting based on whatever we're talking about next week, and oh my gosh, who knows what it'll be next week. But yeah, please, if you've never called before, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to broadcast your beautiful voices far and wide from 99.5 on WBAI as well. I'm not sure if we'll be overtime. No, we won't be overtime.
No, there's no overtime when
but
we do this.
Thereafter, you're always welcome to be a new fresh face caller here on YouTube. We love talking to people, regulars and brand new people that are out there. Thanks for all of your comments, and thanks for exploring telephone museums and the telephone network proper. It has changed a lot, but it's also very similar to the way it was. There's the taking old stuff, just like it's just old. It's just leave it. Yeah, it's phone network. Just leave it. I mean, that's more work. We'll just charge the customers. And yeah, the telephone company always gets their money.
That's true.
So yeah. So the more things change, the more they're the same.
And that's a good note to end on, I think. Please write to us at Off the Hook, OTH at 2600.com. And, we're going to announce some hope speakers pretty soon. And you're still welcome to submit your talk ideas and presentations. Go to hope.net for all the instructions. We have some big announcements coming up. Hope is taking place this August at St. John's University, and it's going to be awesome. It's going to be amazing. Go ahead.
And if people buy their Hope tickets this month, what happens, Emmanuel?
Oh, yes. 10% of your ticket cost will be donated to the Electronic Frontier Foundation.
Which is an incredible and fantastic organization doing all kinds of things, everything from sharing about exciting projects that protect privacy to litigating and spreading awareness about people's rights and how to handle things. There's a lot of changes, a lot of things that we're covering and that we're following, and we really appreciate the EFF for all of their efforts for helping with guidance, things like traveling. We're going to be talking a lot more about this in the weeks and months to come, and we hope you'll stay tuned. And in buying that ticket, it does help contribute to the EFF and their mission. So please, this would be a great month to buy a ticket to Hope.
Yes, it would be. And we do need some more ticket sales. We've been kind of lax on saying that because we've been just so damn busy and we're terrible at self-promotion, unfortunately. So please, hope.net. If you can't make it to the conference, we have digital tickets as well. And we have some fantastic speakers already lined up. We'll be announcing that pretty soon. Also, accommodations. I understand the discounted hotel rate has sold out. Doesn't mean there aren't non-discounted rooms available. You can try the hotels that are nearby. There are other hotels that will be announced as well. In addition to the dormitories on campus, which is really pretty awesome, it's a great way to be a part of the conference, it's just stay on campus, super cheap and well worth it. So hope.net has all the info. It's going to be updated frequently, we'll have much more to say.
Shout out.
All right. I guess no one else has anything to say.
Shout out. Lots of love to all the hackers out there.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
All right. Good night, everyone.